I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
Did I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
What? Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong?
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Well, we've got two different motivations clashing. One is that I have not been regularly here in the last couple of weeks because of all the goings-on in the Vatican. I don't think Pope Leo was aware, at least I'm thinking he wasn't on purpose aware, that they had preempted my program many times. I didn't have anybody to talk to him. Say, you realize you're preempting the doctor's in. But apparently he had other things, more urgent, more important. I can understand that. But at this point, I'm back. Now, I had a problem while I was gone. I started getting psychologically itchy. I'd be in the airport. I'd get on the plane, sit next to the person. Normally, don't say anything when I'm sitting next to a person. But I started turning and saying, anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to ask me about? I mean, you seem a little distressed. Is it a fear of flying? Is it something that you'd like to share? And then I'd go to restaurants, and I'd see these kids acting up, and I'd just drop my card on the table. This happened a number of times. I only got punched twice. Just twice punched. I decided I better back off on doing that so I could be with you now, and then you can call in, I hope, at 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call if you'd like to get on to the air. In the air, when I was on the plane, nobody talked to me. They looked at me like, no, there isn't anything I want to ask you. Okay, all right. I talked to the flight attendants. I said, anything on your mind that you want to share with me? I was really feeling, not necessary. I guess I was starting to struggle with my own self-identity. What's it all about, Alfie? But I'm here now, and hopefully you can help me feel valuable again as a good person. 877-57 equal. You will get my producer and call screamer, Andrew Krucek. He is there by himself, manning, and we can say this, manning the boards, which is an old basketball lingo. And he is also operating the phones. One more time, because they used to tell you, I did an infomercial probably 30 years ago for a product. And they told you, you got to say the number 3 times. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call. If you have a question about something in your life, someone in your life, something in your life, some stuff in your life, some sum in your life, meaning money, or if you just have a generic question, something you don't understand about psychology or intellect or any of those kinds of things, personal issues, generic issues, or if you have insights to offer someone else to help, that's very valuable stuff here. So we'll get to your calls here very shortly. Many, many years ago, I'd say back so long ago that I was writing my first book, because I remember writing it in my office at Maslin State Hospital, which at that time, I think they had about 4,000 residents. Well, when the move came to get people out of the state institutions and into group homes or on the street, many of them went on the street. But I was in the intake department, which meant when somebody came in, they were screened. Given that they could be committed for a short period of emergency or longer if the judge so decided. When a parent brought in a late teen or 20s, someone who was having a psychotic episode, according to the parents, and that's typically when the majority of psychotic episodes happen, something about the timing in the brain, those years from, say, maybe 18, 19 to 30, I would interview the person, I'd interview the parents. When someone is cautious, when they are what we call in psychology guarded, they know that they're being assessed. And they know that the people around them have many questions about their mental stability, and they are careful to not say too much that would make them sound out of touch with reality. When somebody's crazy, they're not crazy all the time. I would interview the individual, and they could, in certain circumstances, come across relatively clear thinking. If you didn't know the history of the individual, you'd think, well, I don't quite see what's going on here that would necessitate an emergency commitment. We would talk. Things would sound reasonably stable. And I would ask, is there anything else you want to tell me? And if the person said, yes, did I tell you that I'm Jesus Christ? Now, the interview went on 1 minute too long. Let me draw a parallel. The early church, in their missionary journeys, was attempting to share with people the kerygma, the good news about our Lord, that this, in fact, was God on earth, rose from the dead, gave a lot of proofs when he was here of what he could do. So can you imagine trying to tell somebody this? That this individual that you knew rose from the dead. You saw him ascend into heaven. Kind of magic. How do you do that, you know? Then some people will listen, some won't. Some will look at you like you're nuts. But let's say you're talking to a man and his wife, and you're telling them things like, well, we knew him, we traveled with him, we saw miracles, we saw what he could do, let us tell you what he did, let us tell you what he said, and then ultimately he appeared to us alive after he was tortured to death by the Romans. Let's say the woman is listening. She wants to hear what you have to say. The guy's skeptical. He's just sitting there like, come on, come on. But he's thinking, this guy doesn't seem crazy. Sounds like he's relatively clear thinking. And then you continue with your sharing of this news, and you say, well, so I want to tell you that he gave us a moral system. And this moral system works very well for maximum contentment for life. It's contrary to what many of the moral systems are now among the Romans and other God-worshipping people, little g, but it's something. So the wife's getting a little more interested. The guy's still skeptical. He says, anything else? And you make your final sales pitch, which is a big one. If anything happens to you, we will take your wife and your children into our community. We will take care of them. They will be with us. They will be protected. She won't have to go on the streets. They won't be homeless. Well, now he's interested. Now he's interested. He may not have yet bought into this stuff about this guy being God and this guy rising from the dead, but this welfare sales pitch sounds pretty good. So one last thing he says. Are you telling me everything? Well, not everything. We believe that he left us himself in a miraculous way. When our prayers are made, prayed over bread, over wine, it becomes him, and we eat him. The interview went on 1 minute too long. Now, would you make something like that up if you're trying to spread a new faith? Leave it alone. Leave it out. Or just say it's a memorial meal, like a lot of Christian groups now say. Just a memorial meal, nothing else. Lord didn't intend to leave us himself in a miraculous way. But the early church believed that. And because they knew it came straight from Christ, they were compelled to preach it. It was the very center of their preaching. If that ain't true, why would you even try to convince anybody it is? A lot easier just to simply say, yeah, we celebrate memorial meals. Because everybody had memorial meals in those days. That was no big deal. But to eat him? One, I don't know if it was an early church father or if it was a high-profile defender of the faith who said, it's so unbelievable. That's why I believe it. And I understand that. Why would you make anything like this up if you're attempting to gather converts? This would kind of be the last thing you'd tell them. The interview went on 1 minute too long in some of those cases, I'm sure. But for those who believed, like you, the interview is a good one. 877-57-EQUAL, Dr. Ray.
Now, wait a second. Let's talk this over. I'm not a rabbi for nothing, you know. I think I have a solution. Just wait a second.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh yeah!
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Dr. Dr. Rieger into you. Brat Whisperer. Actually, many parents are brat whisperers, aren't you? I mean, you got little kids. I feel like you're always going, shh, shh, shh. Matthew from Alaska. Tough situation. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thanks.
Man, you got yourself a rough one.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I would think. How old is your son?
26.
When did he have his break?
Well, we always kind of noticed the Asperger's and stuff, but he's, as you know, puberty, the schizophrenia started showing up, and we weren't sure what we were looking at, but later it became pretty obvious. And he's been on and off meds, and they dialed in the meds pretty good, and he evens out quite a bit, and you know, gets respectful. His cognitive abilities are better, can carry on a conversation, etc. But yeah, he's kind of stubborn, and it's the first part of this the story you told on the interview went 1 minute too long. He's a smart kid too. Even when he's off his meds, he can kind of weave his way through an interview. So
that kind of rang true for you.
We're kind of in a catch 22. I mean, we don't have unlimited funds. We can't just buy another piece of property and house him somewhere. He's been in housing situations, but he keeps getting kicked out because he gets defensive.
Does he come back home?
He sees things as an attack. No, we've got a large family, small kids too, and you know, he's attacked me a couple
Ooh,
of times.
Yikes!
So
I'm assuming it's out of the question that he can come back home.
Correct.
Okay. Because you have to look out for the welfare of yourself and the family.
Right.
Okay. Did you call the cops when that happened?
Yeah. No, he's been had the cops called on him 3 or 4 times. There's two pending cases now. One where he got physical with a nurse in a psych ward, and another where he got physical, pulled a knife on somebody.
Yikes.
In where he's living now, and somehow the doctor talked them into taking him back on, you know, until something else happens.
What happens when he's kicked out? Where does he go?
That is an excellent question. You know, there's a not really a hostel, but a place in Anchorage. I'm working in Sitka. We actually live near Anchorage. But you know, that was $600 a month, which isn't bad at all. But that he's not allowed there anymore. The place that he's in now, where he gets you know, it's paid for through grants from the government, etc. If he gets convicted or if he does something again, he's out of there. We don't know. And the government won't help until it's too late. Basically, if it gets too annoying for the government, then they'll force him on meds. Basically, in prison, they'll make sure he takes meds.
Is he facing serious charges? I mean, you know, you threaten somebody with a knife. That's felonious.
Yeah, I think that guy dropped the charges. The threat against the nurse, that might go somewhere. But generally speaking, you know, basically first-time offender, it's probably not going to be that serious. I don't know. It could go either way.
Well, they'll take his mental state into account.
Yeah. Realistically, at wit's end, see, it feels like we're caught in a catch-22. Sometimes we'd be okay if he was in prison.
I understand that. I certainly understand that, because of prison environment, at least at least if you assume there's not the whole lot of the prison dangers there, it would be a supervised, structured environment for him.
Right. Right.
Are you asking what your social options are? In other words, so many group homes can he burn through? Or are you saying, what can we do as parents to stabilize him?
A little bit of both. We're just looking for some sort of a solution, some sort of a light at the end of a tunnel that's not a train.
How much has he spent time on the streets?
A little.
Alaska's not really a good place to live long on the streets.
In the very short summer, it's not bad.
It's like, yeah, from July, from June 28th to August 1, it's okay.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
All right. Okay, several things. Probably need to talk to a local organization, somebody that's involved with those who have been diagnosed with chronic mental illness, and see what their options are in terms of group homes. And there are some group homes, obviously.
Yeah, we've actually been getting help for a couple of years from a psychologist and somebody that helps with the meds and et cetera. They have been helpful, but we're running through those options as well, and we can't compel him to take his meds.
No, you can't, and that's the sad thing. I remember when I first began as a psychologist, that we had a lot more leverage. If somebody, in fact, was a danger to themselves, in the sense that they had lost contact with reality, not in the sense that they were going to be violent, there was some leverage you could exert to say, okay, we're going to commit you, and we're going to try to stabilize you. But now...
Well, we've got both, and we still aren't getting help.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of the way it's become. Yeah, we've given so much personal rights that we've kind of given you the right to destroy your life.
Right.
What can I say here? I think the first thing is, this is kind of unrelated to what you asked me. You and your wife probably have to be careful that you don't get so immersed into trying to keep him stable that you don't neglect the rest of the family. That can easily happen.
Right.
You can pour so much energy and time. We had that with my daughter. We poured so much energy and time into her group homes that she burned through about five of them, all the meetings and everything, and there were still kids left at home. So right. Yeah, that's something you're going to have to really watch, that balance. That's big. Another thing is you probably, and you haven't said this, your wife, I don't know how distressed she is about all this, but...
It's extremely stressful.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. She's really going to have to work hard at recognizing her helplessness. That's the reality. It's a sad, tragic reality in that his brain doesn't work right. You couple that with whatever other neurological deficits he's had from the Asperger's or the autistic spectrum stuff, and you got a guy whose just judgment is absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. Terrible.
Yeah.
And he's dangerous to himself. He's dangerous to other people. And in all likelihood, he's probably going to do something that's going to get himself hurt or somebody else hurt, and then he's going to get in big trouble with the law. That's a real possibility, and I think your wife somehow, some way, has got to come to peace with that. Stay there, Matthew. I'll talk with you just a little bit on the other side of this. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Dr. Ray, thanks for joining me. Those of you online, thank you for your patience. I definitely get to you. It's a promise. I just want to close up with Matthew from Alaska. He's got a 26-year-old son. diagnosed with the autistic spectrum when he was younger. They noticed some real squirreliness in his thinking as he moved through adolescence. And then definitely into his teens and 20s, late teens, 20s, he became unmanageable. Some legal problems, some assaults, a refusal to take meds, group homes, kicked out of multiple group homes because he got violent and nasty, and they say, look, we can't handle a kid like this. And Matthew is saying, hey, what do we do now? We're having just a heck of a time. Now, I made two observations. One was that be careful you don't pour so much emotional energy into this one child that the other kids don't get the full effect of their mom and dad. That can easily happen. One child takes 72% of all effort, emotional, and time, and then the other four kids are left to split it up. Then I also said that I speculated, as I've seen it many times, that Matthew's wife is just living in agony about all this because of her helplessness, because she can't do anything about it. And he agreed. And I suggested, said, I hope that she's going to finally get to a point where she realizes I cannot tie my peace and happiness to the conduct of my 26-year-old son because I can't control it. Matthew, still there?
Yes.
I guess I would say, I don't know if you burned through every group home you possibly have, or perhaps some kind of room and board situation where he's renting a room for $300 a month or whatever it is, some kind of facility or even a private domicile that the state will pay for that. And if he doesn't have to do too much interacting with a whole lot of other people, you know, group homes are not exactly the most stable places. And I'm sure that if your son is already trip switch with his actions and emotions, and he's in with five other people who are also struggling with their own mental stability, well, that's not exactly a good combination. So maybe something that's a little more private might work. That's a possibility. We did that with my daughter. We paid somebody for about a year and a half to keep her.
We've also considered, you know, buying a little piece of property and building a little cabin on it, you know, and
not a bad idea.
Hang out with him once in a while and then feed him.
Yeah, or you can get a trailer, some type of trailer, you know, buy something like that.
Trailers don't work up here.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I was thinking you
no
guys
worries.
Had
can't heat them.
Normal temperature. Never mind.
Yeah.
But that is one of your options. But the big one is, this is huge, and I had to do this with my daughter. You got to come to grips with the idea that the reality is when the brain becomes that disturbed, it can't be reached. Not easily. And you're in a reactive position, Matthew. You're forced to almost react to what he does.
Yeah.
As opposed to predicting it and heading it off. So please do what you can for your wife so that she's not in torment for the next 20 years.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, my friend. God bless you. That's a tough one. I know exactly where you're at. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
All righty. Let's talk to Carol from Rochester, New York. Rochester, the name of an old radio character. I know Tom Price would know that. Jack Williams, those guys all know that stuff. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
What's up, my dear?
I'm just wondering, what ever happened to the priest of a cop molesting children? Were they convicted or punished or how?
I think it's got to depend upon the situation. First of all, it was a small minority of priests, although the media makes it sound like, you know, it's 50% of our priests. It wasn't. It was a small minority. Secondly, many of the offenses were long ago. Long ago. 20, 30, 40 years ago. Third, there were probably... I went on a show once and got excoriated for bringing this point up. But there was a time when the expert consensus was that people could be rehabilitated from this kind of offending. When it became clear that that's very, very difficult to do, by that time, a lot of the priests had been moved around in the hopes of some kind of intervention that would stop this conduct. When it didn't, and we found that unfortunately certain kinds of offenses are just absolutely treacherous in their clinging to a personality, things had already happened. Many of the priests were removed from priesthood. Some of them were convicted. They were punished by the law. Some went into some kind of private religious environment where they're spending the rest of their days in prayer and penitence. The good news is that these kinds of offenses and complaints are dramatically, dramatically below what they were. That's good. That's very good. Does that answer the questions, Carol?
Yes, it did. It was just a shock to my daughter, and she left the church because of it.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know how to get her back in.
Well, you try this reasoning. Ask her this. Why would you leave the church because of people who are doing things that are against what the church teaches? That's like saying, I don't want to be married. Why? Well, because my neighbor guy punches his wife. So if that's what marriage is, I don't want any part of it. Wait, that's not what marriage is. That's people acting against a good marriage. And that's what those priests did. They acted against what the church teaches. I might also ask your daughter, Carol, I'd say, is that the real reason? Because I found that a lot of people say that is the reason, but it's really not. They just are tired of religion, or they get lazy, or maybe they're living their own morality and they don't want to be questioned by the church's teachings. So there's other reasons. Anybody who really believes that the church is established by Christ is not going to leave it because somebody acts against it or against its teaching. Thank you, Carol. The show full bore. Sorry, boy, what a difference a couple of letters make. Who was it? Mark Twain said that. He said, "The difference between the right word and almost the right word is the difference between lightning and lightning bug." Past 3 or 4 years, I've been privileged enough to go on the Good News Marriage Cruise. On the Good News Cruise, there's usually a night reserved for karaoke. Now, I just thought karaoke was the name of a girl I dated when I was in college, Carrie. Karaoke. Nice girl. Well, there was a woman there that brought the house down. Absolutely. She did a rock rendition of I'm Not Gonna Take It Anymore. And she had the hair to do it. It was the hair. It was the hair that did it. So, She says, all right. She identified herself, the karaoke girl from the Good News Cruise. Now, she's got a situation she actually wants to ask me about, which I should have told her, Kara, that eventually you were going to call me, because I knew it. You just do. That's it. Hello there, young lady. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Ray. I'm glad you're back on the air. I missed you.
You're just not going to take it.
I'm just not going to take it anymore, man. No, I was calling. I walk my dog, and I thoughts run through my head as I walk my dog. And just having been recently with my daughter at Easter time, and she's very, very heavily covered in tattoos. And I guess there's one that's in progress on her leg that I haven't seen. She says, I don't want you to see it. It's in progress, blah, 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 blah. And my niece is also very, very heavily tattooed. And it's almost like an obsession with them at this point. And I also was thinking about when they were teenagers, because they're about a year and a half apart. And they both kind of fed off of each other and sort of, I guess you teenagers would call it like emo behavior. And they both dabbled in cutting. I don't know what my niece used. My daughter was using safety pins and scratching her stomach. And, you know, I noticed these marks on her stomach. And we had a pet rabbit at the time. And she said, no, that's not that. I said, are you cutting yourself? Are you doing something? No, that's scratches from the rabbit, blah, 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 blah. But it kind of got me to thinking, like, I guess I don't know why these adolescents cut, if it's something to do with, like, the pain involved in the cutting and then the mark that it leaves behind. And I'm kind of wondering if there's a connection between, like, that kids who do that in, like, growing up and being obsessed with tattooing, which is, you know, a painful experience that leaves a mark on your body. I don't know. I was just wondering if there's any, if I'm crazy or if there's...
Oh, Kara, you're crazy, but that doesn't have anything to do with, that doesn't have anything to do with the question. Anybody see you do that song, they would had no doubt. This woman's right on the edge.
I know. I did lose an earring that night, too, right?
Man, it hit me in the side of the head. And I went to the cruise lines. And I said, you need to make this right or this whole ship's going to be mine. Yeah. How old is your daughter now?
She is 31. She'll be 32 in October. And my niece is just turned 33.
So this is not a I'm 21 and I'm gone with the crowd thing.
No, it is very ingrained behavior at this point.
Here's where I see the connection. Now, tattoos are so prominent now, so absolutely everywhere. Meaning not only among people everywhere, but among all over the body everywhere.
Right, yeah.
So to draw a connection and say, well, someone who cuts is more likely to get a tattoo. I think there's a very slight relationship, but it's not direct. And here's what I mean. 30 years ago, I was a young shrink. I was a shrinkling. I didn't see any cutting. I mean, I dealt with a lot of adolescents, and cutting was rare, very rare. Tattoos among people under 18 or 20 were also quite uncommon. The connection is social norming.
Right, yeah.
As cutting became more high profile among discontented, particularly adolescent girls, and as tattoos became more the cultural thing to do, those people who were more easily influenced by social norms would be more likely to not only cut, but maybe have billboards of tattoos all over their body. Now, I know there's going to be people out there thinking, boy, that's nuts. That's nuts, Ray. That is not true. Sometimes people get tattoos because they want them. Sometimes people get tattoos simply because this is just the way they do it. I understand that. What I'm saying is...
Right. I mean, or you get like one, like maybe you want one or two, but I mean...
Start out with a little flower on your ankle.
Sure, a little infinity sign with the love heart in it.
Now it's a picture of the universe all over your back.
I wish it was even that. Sometimes it's a naked woman in cowboy boots or, you know.
I know.
It's things that are objectionable.
I work out at a local Y, and I would say any of the ladies there under 30, if you see one with no tattoos... That's 10%. 10%.
Yeah.
That's first thing. So I would say, just to answer your question directly between your niece and your daughter, a guess, a speculation, is that whatever there was discontent in their lives, and we're raising a lot of discontented people because the culture is just shifting them a certain way, the cutting and the tattoos are probably related. In the sense that I want to make a statement.
Yeah.
If I'm going to cut myself.
Yeah, I mean.
Go ahead, dear.
Yeah, I was just feeling. No, I was just feeling like between, you know, there were just similarities between, you know, the pain of the cutting and the mark it leaves behind.
That's probably where I would be less likely to see a relationship.
No, okay.
I'd be more likely to see a relationship in that. I'm not completely content with who I am, and therefore I'm more vulnerable to what the social ideas coming at me are.
Yeah, I see that with the two of them very much, very much so.
And the more I am confident in my own skin, the less I have to hurt my own skin.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm glad I called you, Dr. Ray.
I just wanted to tell you, I am not merely a karaoke star. You know that now.
Listen, are you working on 2026? I've already got some ideas for what I'm singing in 26.
I can't follow you. I can't follow you. You know, you go singing that.
We're not going to take it anymore. I think that might just be an anthem at this point.
It is. I think it is. And you there's a picture of you up in the karaoke lounge.
I know, I saw that.
And when I sang Please Release Me on a marriage cruise, they yanked me. They just yanked me.
Yeah, you got to read the room, Dr. Ray.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? This 2026 cruise, I don't want to get into too much personal stuff here. But apparently, I'm blanking on his name. Is it Pavarotti? Who is this?
No, Andrea Bocelli.
Bocelli, that's it. I knew it was one of them Italian dudes.
He cannot sing karaoke with us. I'm sorry.
No, he's terrible. He's terrible.
No, but the thing is, karaoke is supposed to be bad and corny. It's not supposed to be good.
Well, this is, he's going to sing. They got him singing. And they said, that they weren't teasing. They wanted me to sing with him. Now, you remember Tiny Tim?
Yeah.
Tiptoe through the tulips. Yes. Now, that's what I would sound like. I would feel like Pee-wee Herman. He'd be singing. I'd be going, okay. Well, I'm going to sing now. Oh, man.
Well, if he sings karaoke, no one else can sing. He has to go last. No one can go after him.
All right. I'll be his lead-in act. I'll get the Frisbees and the beach balls going.
All right.
So good. It's going to be good to see you, my dear. I'll talk to you later.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's Dr. A having too much fun.
If you're still on the fence about purchasing a new air conditioner, just know that prices are expected to increase by 25% over the next year due to EPA standards. Don't wait.
Hi, I'm Ron Garmo with Running Right Heating and Cooling. Call us today for a free quote on a new air conditioning system and all your heating and cooling needs. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a 10% discount.
Call today, 248-884-1704, or go to runningrighthvac.com to schedule an appointment.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family.
This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Thank you for joining me here. I'm going to get to Tracy here in one quick moment. But before that, I just want to be around. I'm not going to be. I would love to be around. 30 years from now. No, 20. Maybe 10. When all these tattoos just become blobs. When that chained link around your bicep becomes a picket fence. When it looks like you're just a walking Rorschach inkblot test. All these folks in nursing homes. With the skin all wrinkled up and all kinds of spots and everything. Folks saying, what was that? Is that? I don't know what that is. Tracy from South Carolina. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Oh, honey, you got another one of these young adults out of control.
Yes. I was listening to the previous caller, and yeah, my son has just turned 18, and we're desperately trying to get him to finish high school. And ever since he's turned 18, he has decided he's, you know, forging his own path. He doesn't need to listen to teachers. He doesn't need to listen to anybody. He knows better than anybody. He's currently working on an app that he, you know, is trying to sell to an investor for, I don't know, I think the current rate is like $7 million. He's very obsessed with status and with high price luxury items and luxury homes and cars and, you know,
champagne taste with a beer pocketbook.
I picked him up from school today, and he's got his black turtleneck, black corduroys, double Gucci bags, two watches.
Where do you get the money for all that?
Well, you know, they're fake. And the double watches that are supposed to, you know, be knockoffs of some.
But that still takes money.
I don't know.
Is he working?
Exactly. He was. He was doing, he was busing at a restaurant. And then he's got, you know, real legit Prada sunglasses. And I'm, you know, I. Sometimes
is he living at home, Tracy?
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. So how long do you think you're going to be able to take it?
Well, you know, this has been going on. We've been struggling with his mood swings, with his anger, his hostility, his impulsiveness, the whole gamut of the autism, ADHD, neurotypical or neuro-whatever-diverse.
Neurodivergent. That's right.
Yeah, and he's been in a couple of different placements, which I think have made him worse and not better. And so now he's no longer physically aggressive to us. He's just verbally aggressive. And he won't go with the plan. He won't finish.
All right,
you know,
so
he won't try.
I'm going to cut you off here because I got 1 minute.
Okay.
So he's out of control. He's uncooperative.
and he's 18, which makes him a major legally. So you're facing a decision. One, you either live with him and attempt to get along with him, although it sounds like he's not real motivated to get along with you, or you put a condition on him and you say, here's what we expect, and if this doesn't happen, you're going to have to find your own place to live. There's some homeless shelters, or there's some facilities, or since you're making so much money, you can probably live on your own. I'm assuming he's a senior in high school. I'm hoping he's a senior in high school. So that's what you're facing. If you're saying, how do I get him to be cooperative when he thinks I'm an adult and I don't have to listen to you, that's a tough order.
You know, either go with the program or you can go find somewhere else to live. The reality is he doesn't have enough money to live. He is on medications and doesn't know how to independently take
Tracy,
care
I'm gonna,
of...
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off because we ran out of time. I got about 5 seconds. Please call back. You'll be first up. Promise you that. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me. Walk with God. It's your infinite walk. It's the only one that matters in the end.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.